So we are now coming live from the flight zone of Australia. If you guys can hear the planes, I think they're pretty cool. We had to do show part two because somebody, meaning Deb CE, when she loaded the show, only loaded for 15 minutes. I will take full blame. Okay. Take full blame for that. And we're back live with Diane and AK for our show.
Yay.
You just gotta love technology.
Back.
Yes, we're back. You just have to really, really love technology. Okay, and it looks like our folks are back in the chat room too. So, good.
All right. Well, let's not waste any more time here. So we were actually we don't think anybody could hear us, but. We were talking during our intermission, and so we're going to talk a little bit about franchise sales in social media. So I guess if, I don't know, Deb, you might know more about franchise sales and social media here.
Well, and I'll ask you, Diane. So if you're using social media and franchise sales, you know, I guess we would say you probably are using online portals and things like that. But how do you or do you use social media trying to recruit franchisees?
This is one of my topics of interest, I suppose, is how the franchise sales part of franchising can start using social networks to find potential franchisees. I know I've been on a couple of Facebook pages, for example, of the official franchisor accounts and had customers, you know, pop on and request, I want this store in my suburb and, you know, suggesting locations. So I'm thinking there's certainly potential there in terms of talking to potential franchisees to show demand, even that consumers are requesting and have a positive vibe towards your franchise that you're trying to sell. And sales, I guess, is about relationships. And with social networking, it is, to me, about developing relationships and talking to people and communicating with people and engaging with them. And somehow I see it's quite a logical thing, but obviously you don't want to be salesy and online, otherwise you'll just totally put everyone off. Is anyone doing anything interesting in the States with franchise sales and social?
Well, they're definitely using Facebook and Twitter trying to get that message out there to recruit franchisees. I think more of what we're doing and with like with Computer Explorers is trying to get all of our franchisees out there to build that presence, that social presence, so that when we do have a prospect that's searching the web on the brand, that what they're coming back with is saying, wow, I really found you guys, or I've seen the videos, I've seen YouTube, I see all your Facebook pages, because, and I'll use Computer Explorers, it's like, I think we're about 70% of our franchisees have a Facebook page, have a presence, or they have a YouTube channel, or they're using Twitter. So it's hard not to find technology education for kids and not come across Computer Explorers because we've built such a social presence. So that's how we are using, and I think a lot of the franchise brands are using it, is just trying to build that presence so that the prospects can actually find you and find different information about you. It's not the franchisor pushing out the same information and populating the same, you know, Computer Explorers for Denver, Computer Explorers for Baltimore, and the same information. It's very different and unique within every local community.
That's a great statistic. How did you manage to get them along.
With AK's help.
That's amazing. Well done. Well done. 70%.
It's been several years. I mean, every conference, you just constantly promote it and preach it and then have great speakers like AK there at conference. And we've had a brand journalist who's a PR firm that works with us and trying to do the trainings and sessions on how to use social media. We've got a conference coming up in April, and one whole day is dedicated to, it's going to be called Think Globally but Act Locally, to where I'm going to have folks like AK, again, showing the franchisees how to use Google Places, how to use Merchant Circle, how to set up Facebook, what things should they be tweeting about, and really just the little nuts and bolts. You know, now that I think they understand the platforms, now what they need to know is what do they do with them.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. You're doing that sort of thing. One of the franchisees, one of my favorite franchisees that I follow on Twitter here, is a lady in Western Australia, which is on the other side of the country to where I'm at. And she tweets under the Twitter handle EmbroidMeZero, and her name's Elizabeth Bain, I think. And I think she's such a great advertisement for that franchise because she tweets about, you know, what she's doing in her day and, you know, the odd sales message out there in terms of work-wise. Her franchise does promotional gear, cups and T-shirts and mugs and that sort of thing. And when she talks about business, it's, I'm working to get an urgent order out for a customer, and I hear, you know, I'm listening on her getting involved in the community, and you just get a really good feel for what it's like to be a franchisee. And I think I feel that franchisor needs to encourage potential franchisees to follow her on Twitter to get, you know, a true picture of the day in the life of one of our franchisees. So, you know, those sort of opportunities when someone's looking to buy a franchise, when you have a lot of franchisees on Twitter, for example, or on social networks, that's the sort of thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Good. And I was caught here. I see that Kate Groom is listening from Australia. She said that she agrees with what your comments here, Diane. So, hi, Kate. It's nice to see that we've got some Australian listeners in. Part of what you do, Diane, is your social network, I guess I'm going to call it a club, and there are several of those type of network groups or clubs in, here in the U.S. I don't particularly belong to one, but there's lots I'd like to go to, and there's one in Nashville that looks great. And AK, I know I saw a tweet not too long ago or something posted where you were trying to start one in Baltimore. Do you have something going yet?
Yes, well, we have a couple of things that's a work in progress. One's going to be more like kind of like a meeting, sharing of the minds type thing. And then the other is going to be, I'm going to be able to do some in-person training. So I'm excited about that. So, yeah, I'm trying to do a little bit of both, but really kind of bring more people, business owners in the area together to share social media, because it's still really, for lack of a better word, lacking in our area, even though now it seems, because we use it so much to us, it seems like it's been around for a while now. It's still so underutilized that somebody needs to, you know, kick these business owners in the butt around here and show them what they need to do and get them sharing, you know. I think what's really going to help is them sharing stories with each other about what has been successful for each other to sort of get that motivation going for them.
Mm-hmm. So, Diane, let me ask you this. So if you're going to a big conference or seminar in Australia, you know, one of the things that we like to do in the U.S. is that we like to have the tweet up prior to, you know, whatever the event is. So AK and I participated in FranCamp, which was held in Nashville, and before the actual full day of sessions, if we had, or we did it that night. Anyway, we had a tweet up. Do you find that you have tweet ups and things like that in Australia, before, after, or just tweet ups in general?
It's something that hasn't really taken off here, I don't believe, before conferences. It's not that popular. I was following the Fran camp. One, it's such a great idea to just get everyone together and do something quite, it is quite informal. I'm guessing it would be quite informal.
Mm-hmm.
We have the odd tweet up here, but I think one of the challenges that we have is our social networks are quite small. So Twitter, for example, where you would be attracting those people in the franchise space, we just don't have a lot of people on Twitter, for example, to organise something like that and have it successful. So I try to organise a tweet up when I was working for trying to get people to come together to chat about finance and you know, buying a home and that sort of thing, and I think we got 5 people to turn up, which I was quite excited about at the time, and this was, you know, 2 years ago now, I think, but we tried that. But I guess that's something that we will do in the future, or something we can look forward to, I guess.
Well, I'm assuming that you do have other kind of network groups. It may not be a social network group like the Business Network Institute or a chamber network group. You do networking. I mean, you do have networking meetings, correct?
Yes, we do.
So we just have to, you know, like be little spies in some of those meetings and try to start talking Twitter. I know, AK, remember when we went and we did our book club and we sat there? We were pretty quiet about social media, and so then all of a sudden we just busted out of our shells and started talking about LinkedIn and Twitter, and I'm pulling a video camera out saying, okay, now we're going to do a YouTube video, and I think we kind of freaked them out.
I think they really after we started talking about it, I think just a couple of things that we said about how awesome it could be as a promotional tool, especially for authors, then they were, you know, everybody was like, tell us more.
Yeah, they did. They did get excited. They had lots and lots of questions. So we just have to, I think AK and I just need to come to Australia and join Diane and Kate and, you know, make the rounds and be the social media maven speaker presenters or whatever.
We would love to have you. I'm going to send you regular reminders.
Oh, good. If it comes with a check, I'm there.
Exactly. I was just, there's a Domino's franchisee that is quite active on the speaking circuit, from the US. Ramon
de Leon? Yeah. Are you talking about the Domino's guy?
The Domino's guy.
Yeah. Ramon?
He's coming over.
Oh, is he? I saw that he was just, I forget where it was, China or something like that. If you get the opportunity to go listen to Ramon de Leon, you have to go see him. He is inspiring. He is hilarious. He actually, I have a YouTube video where I interviewed Ramon on my YouTube channel. I'll have to post the link to it. But I took one of my franchisees to a conference. It's called Word of Mouth Conference, and Ramon was one of the speakers. And she was kind of riding the fence of, you know, should I do this? I'm a franchisee. I don't know if this really applies to me. And AK, that was Robin Scott. And we both know that now Robin Scott is all over social media. And I do contribute Ramon's presentation as kicking her in gear and getting her excited about it. He's great. And it's a great, Domino's is a great story. And he's a franchisee. He's not corporate.
Yes, I know.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Even I get inspired when I see him. I saw one of his YouTube videos where he went out delivering pizzas in his local community.
Mm-hmm.
I just love everything that he does. So the conference is in Melbourne early next month.
Oh, that'll be great. So then what kind of things do you think will change in 2012, or what do you have planned for your social network group and trying to, get social media used more frequently, and how can we help?
I think one of the things that I'm going to be working on in 2012 in this space is to try and get more stories out. We have been quite slow to pick up here in Australia, and part of that is just volume of people getting on board. And I think in the States, I think you've just got a much bigger population that are on social networks that got on there really quickly. And so we've lagged behind partly because of that. But I'm starting to see customers are driving that push, and a lot of franchise organizations are starting to do a lot of interesting things in the space, and I want to start highlighting some of those stories to get people excited about it.
Will you be highlighting them through, will you be using like blogging? Will you be blogging and trying to get the stories out that way?
Yeah, so the intention is to get more active blogging. I've had a busy year in 2011, so I slacked off a bit, but just being proactive, getting in touch with the different franchise organizations and getting out there and interviewing them. I'd love to do some video, YouTube videos as well, just, really short videos where just to start sparking interest there. And I think the bigger franchises are starting to ramp their efforts up. I've got a soft spot for small business, so wanting to, get involved and encourage a lot of the smaller ones to start getting more involved by, running more webinars was another thing that I was wanting to jump into, just because I'm Sydney-based. If I did a webinar, I'd be able to pick up more people around the country to just start some of these conversations happening.
Well, and we should probably flip things a little bit. Like at the last Computer Explorers conference, we had Kate and her business partner, Peter, do a presentation for us, and we did it via, it wasn't video Skype, but we did it via online meeting or whatever it was. So they presented 45 minutes up on the big screen, their presentation, and they were in Australia and we are here in the U.S. So maybe what we need to do is get folks like AK and myself and some other U.S. social media folks to try to present over there, talk to your franchisors, and we want to help.
That's a great idea. I'd love to do that.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And and with social media today and the internet, you certainly can do that. And you stream, maybe we could do some, live view streaming. See, AK, I'm just rambling with trying to find ways that we can either speak to the Australians or go over there and meet them.
I'm also going.
She's seen that. AK's all for going, but she's shying away from the video or the Ustream and that stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather pay to fly to Australia than have to be on a video.
See? Do you believe that, Diane?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Even easier, we could do a Google Hangout.
We'll have to do that. We do the Google Hangout and Facebook video, all kinds of things. So I think what we need to do, ladies, going forward is we need to put, as Kate is saying in the chat, we need to put our thinking hats on, and I think we need to start a US/Australia, the four of us, really decide, how can we make this work?
That sounds perfect.
That would be great.
There goes another plane. I wonder where they're going to.
I can't believe you can hear that. But they are loud.
There was something else I wanted to ask, and now it's left me because I was thinking about where that plane was going to.
It's coming to pick us up.
Coming to pick us up. Well, Diane, I don't want to forget to let everybody know what your Twitter handles are. I think you were telling me earlier that you've changed it, your LinkedIn. Why don't you give us all of your contact information so folks that are listening here from the U.S. can start following you?
Okay, my personal Twitter account is Diane L. That's D-I-A-N-E-L, one N in Diane. And I also tweet and have a Facebook page for social franchising, and my Twitter handle for social franchising is SM in franchising, and my Facebook page is facebook.com/SM in franchising as well.
So we're going to start visiting your Facebook page and start putting out some ideas out there and see if we can get some interest from your Australian friends of what we can do to spread the word. Spread the good word.
That'll be great. That'll be excellent.
Well, don't go away. We are going to go right into Geek It Out. Okay, real quick music here. Okay, done with the music. We don't want to waste any time. So let's see what we can do. I'm ready.
All right. I am so excited about this site, and it's going to take a little bit of playing with to really see the potential of it, but I'll tell you how I use it. So, without further ado, the site is ifttt.com. So, it stands for if then what, or if then that. So, ifttt. And it has all of these, what they refer to as channels. So you can set it up. So let me give you an example of the ones I set up. For example, I set it one up. So every time I upload a picture to my Facebook, it also saves it into my Dropbox account. So it's it's automatically creating an archive of my Facebook pictures for me. Or from weather.com, I set it up so if there's rain in the forecast for tomorrow, I get an email to my Gmail saying that there's rain tomorrow.
Oh, geez.
So if you're at the ifttt.com, and at the top, if you click on the recipes, you can see lots of examples of ones that people have already created.
I don't see recipes. Wait a minute. I'm at the it says task. Where do I have to join first?
You shouldn't have to. I don't think. Well, try just putting it up in your URL. Do ifttt.com/recipes. Type it.
Oh,
/recipes.
Okay.
And see if that works.
Oh, well, it told me my page didn't work. But I'll take your word for it. I'll play with that. But I'm going to go back to the original page, and I see all the icons.
Oh, another one that I created today that I'm really excited about is I set it up so that every time I tweet from my personal Twitter account, it saves it for that day on my Google Calendar. So whereas you don't really have an archive of your tweets unless you scroll back and scroll back and scroll back, or on your Facebook, even though the new Facebook timeline is supposed to help with that. Like for when you and I were trying to do a recap of social media for 2011, now all I'll have to do is go back to the beginning of the year in my Google Calendar and see what I was tweeting on each day.
Where does it put it in your Google Calendar?
It just creates it as an event.
Oh, as an event. And yeah. I see the recipes now.
Yeah, so I mean, there's literally like a bazillion different combinations, and you don't have to know any code or anything. It's sort of like setting up a rule in Microsoft Outlook. You just pick the channel, Facebook, and you say, whatever I do here, then I want this other thing to happen in this other area. It is so neat. So it's not like a site you have to come back to. Once you set up what you want to happen, then you can just get all sorts of things kind of happening behind the scenes for you.
Oh, this is scary.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I got you. Get definitely take a look through the recipes because really neat ideas. I did the one that I saw that was on the first page of recipes earlier. I don't know if it is still, but every time that there is a new book added to the top 100 Kindle free ebooks, it's in your email.
Yeah,
so I put that one up.
That is cool. Okay, I'm gonna have to find this.
Yeah.
It's even better than, almost better than Pinterest.
I don't know about that.
I've seen a lot of discussion on Pinterest, and now a lot of discussion on why do we have Pinterest.
Yeah. Okay. So that was that one.
Okay.
The next one that I am really enjoying is called Sortable.com. Sortable.com. And this is just as simple as you can look for TVs, phones, tablets, cameras, and laptops based on tons of criteria. So first it prompts you to set a price, so you can pick whatever you want the price to be and whatever you want it, and hit go. Once you get to the next page, you'll see all of the criteria that you can select at the top, and then it basically tells you what would be the best products for you based on that criteria, and it'll tell you what the advantages are and then what you're sort of trading off for that may not be so good about it. So, and it's really, really, I like the interface. It's very user-friendly. And you can compare them in all sorts of fun things.
Cool.
Okay, the next one is sort of like that. It's called Decide.com. I may have mentioned this one before. I can't remember.
I don't think so.
Decide.com, you plug in a product. So, for example, if you put in iPad 2 and you hit search, it will tell you, where you can buy it. But most importantly, it will tell you whether it's at a price right now where you should buy it, whether whoever is, I don't know how it comes up with these things, but whether there's a new model coming out and you should wait for the new model, or, it's kind of like a buy and sell, but for products. So, and it's interesting because I did iPad 2 on here, I guess, 2 weeks ago, and it was saying buy now. And I did iPad 2 just right before the show, and now it's saying wait for the new model.
Yeah, it's saying wait for the new model.
Yeah. So you can do that on all sorts of different electronics, phones, cameras, et cetera, also. What is decide.com? Oh, I got that one. All right, so let me find one more. Okay. Alternative.to. So, alternative.to. And this is sort of just what it sounds like. You can look, it's like an alternative search engine. So, for example, if I wanted to find an alternative to Blog Talk Radio, I might type in Blog Talk Radio and hit show, and it will give me alternative services or products. So this isn't limited to electronics. You can do this for all sorts of things.
Oh, okay, that was a tease, because I did just what you said. It says up here that we have no alternative.
No.
There went another plane.
So I think we're probably out of time, aren't we?
This little handy-dandy timer says that we've got 15 minutes left.
Oh, okay.
Big, yeah.
Okay.
And I muted Diane a little bit while that plane was going by. I'll unmute her in a minute.
Okay. Well, but I don't have 6 more minutes worth of sites, but I have a couple more.
Okay.
That was alternative.to. Another neat one, and I'm interested to see how this works over time, is called backupurl.com. And it says that you can put in any URL, and then you can create, I think it's like creating a snapshot of the website, basically. So let's say for my website, if I did a backup of it now, and then over the course of a year, I change my website, or 3 years from now, I want to go back and see what my website looked like in 2012. I can, if I've saved this link, presumably, I can go back and see what that URL looks like. So I've saved sites like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and things in here. I don't know if those types of sites will really work, so you can sort of see the progression of them over time. I know I see a lot of like screenshots if you run searches for old Facebook to see what the home screen of Facebook looked like when it first came out, as opposed to what it looks like now. So I think it would be neat if this service, sort of holds images like that. But I'm sure there's some benefit to creating an archive of sites. I guess especially if you're into website building. And you want to, set up a design and then manipulate it some and then be able to go back and see your last design, you could use it for that purpose.
You know, I have to mention something to you. Earlier this week, I had a phone call, and it was a sales call, but it was actually a good call, from someone who said they had found my profile on the Invest in Social directory.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah, and I found a thing from there too.
I'm not half as bad as you are with how many profiles I have out there, but it sounded real familiar. It's like, let me check. And I go to Invest in Social, and it's like, oh, that's right, you do have a profile there. But you know, we've got so many profiles out there that eventually somebody's going to find us.
Yes. That's how I ended up. Speaking for the Baltimore Sun, because I had put a profile up on the Social Media Club Baltimore, and that's how they found me, and I didn't even ever remember putting a profile on Social Media Club Baltimore.
I forgot about it. And have you updated your list in a long time of how many profiles you have out there?
No.
No.
But this could kind of be another Geek It Out, although I don't have the link in front of me. I think you posted it on our Social Geek Radio Facebook page yesterday, the one about how you can see which applications are accessing your information.
Yeah.
I was going to go through that because a lot of those are also, profile platforms that I've set up where I've linked my other accounts together. So I thought that would help me sort of rein in some of the sites that I've signed up for.
Yeah, well, and there's another way of checking it too. I guess when you go back and you start looking at Twitter or Facebook and who you've given permissions to, I was doing that because of something you posted. I think something you posted, and I went back and I went, "Oh yeah, I forgot. I must have an account there." So there's another way of checking how many profiles and accounts you have out there.
Yeah, I did that the first time that I was trying to count up. Facebook, all those applications, I'm probably horrible when it comes to this because I allow every single application under the sun to access my Facebook information. But for some reason, Twitter, I was a little bit more selective to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even realize how many applications I had accessing my LinkedIn profile, but that was on there too.
Yeah, I checked them all. Okay, do you have, we still have time, we don't have to do anymore, but if you've got a couple more, kick it out.
I do have a couple more, yeah. If you go to, let me see, to get back. Okay, zoomsphere.com, so zoomsphere.com. And here. This, what I've used it for, and I don't actually, the front page of the discussion forum and everything, I use it for the charts. So if you go over onto the left underneath of the home and you click on charts, you can select from Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. And you can compare pages, you can save favorite pages, and you can look at all pages, regardless of the ones you like or don't like or follow, et cetera, to see by number of fans, people talking about them, changes. You can do it by country. So we could compare, you know, ours to Australia, and so on. So that's kind of fun just to go in and look at. I have actually been using it to, you know, sort of look at patterns from a business perspective in terms of, you know, what really is effective and what types of posts, especially on Facebook, are getting people to participate and interact with the brand on Facebook. So when you, you know, when you're going through the top couple, obviously it's going to be the big brands and the celebrities and that kind of thing. But if you start going down through the list, you can get some pretty good insights into what's being effective.
It's good to see, Google Plus. You know, at one point, and I'm wondering if you can help us, maybe it's next week, because I mentioned Pinterest earlier, about putting, do you recommend that people should start being putting the Pinterest buttons or following Pinterest on their blogs?
I would say it can't hurt. They have the pin it button. So, like, if you did a blog, you know, on your blog post, where you have, you know, the plus one button and the like button and the tweet button, you can now, right from your Pinterest account, they have the pin it button where they give you the HTML for the code. And I don't see, you know, any problem at all with doing that. I mean, it's just giving people another way to be able to share your content if they were doing it. I mean, it really is, a lot of people are still predominantly using it for you know, wedding planning and products
right.
like or things for the house. But I mean, I created a whole separate Pinterest account for Sang It Social, and I created boards for Facebook and a board for Twitter and one for Foursquare and one for mobile marketing and et cetera. So every time, and I use the Pin It bookmarklet at the top of my Chrome toolbar. So every time I'm reading an article that A, I think has valuable information, and B, is pertinent to one of those topics, I pin it to that board. So, I mean, I use the bookmarklet, so I don't really care if somebody has a pin it button or not. But, you know, like I was saying, I think it's just another way that people could share your content. So if you can give them that easy way of doing it, why not?
Well, and I think it's another way of people finding you, especially if you've got, excuse me, a business page on there. And Laurie Windham had posted something earlier today on Twitter about how many different businesses are starting to use Pinterest for and having business pages. So,
I follow Mashable on Pinterest. Scholastic is one of my favorites that I like following on Pinterest. I haven't seen a ton, and it was interesting. I don't know if I should mention this, but I'm going to anyway. My dad's in the chat room here. My sister just wrote a paper for school on cyber spotting and, you know, intellectual property with branding names and social media sites. And I was looking for brands that were on Pinterest, and I haven't seen anybody that's actually come up with a huge list of brands on Pinterest. So I figured that the easiest way to see if somebody had a Pinterest account, which is go to Pinterest.com/ and then type in, you know, if it was TechCrunch, so Pinterest.com/TechCrunch to see if they had a page. And I found somebody who did have Google. Somebody had TechCrunch.com/Google, and it was just a random person who had, like, two boards on Fabrics or something. And then I started typing a whole bunch of others, and they're either not taken or they are just, you know, normal everyday people just pinning things for crafts and whatnot. So I'm interested to see if anything comes of that in terms of brands deciding, all you know, after a while to be on Pinterest and not being able to get the
right,
the
get their name
behind the Pinterest. That's kind of the reason why I started one so quick for saying it's social. Is, I mean, it's not popular, and you know, people aren't going to be grabbing after it, but.
You know, you want to secure it, so you want want yours.
It's better safe than sorry. So I was like, gosh, you know, so I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, how many of these, you know, Pinterest.com/McDonald's can I go out and grab? I was like, I have better things to do.
Yeah. All right. Do we have we have time? Do you have one more geek it out before we close the show up?
I do. I have paywithatweet.com. And this is cool because you can do things, it's basically exchanging something for a tweet or a Facebook post. So if you wanted to give, I've seen some websites using it where they say, you know, if you tweet this, you then come to a screen where you get a coupon code for $5 off your order of whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah, or you could say if you tweet this or post this, you know, you'll get access to download such and such a white paper. So it's just another way to get people to give people an incentive to promote or repost your information.
Cool. Well, as Dana said, I think that was a jumbo size geek it out session that we did tonight. I'm going to go back and see. Open. So, Diane, I'll look at the Diane's microphone. Is saying goodbye. I did touch on.
Sorry about that.
Because of the planes. But I wanted to thank you for joining us tonight, all the way from Australia. It was great to have you on.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
And we'll visit your Facebook page, and we'll hopefully get some others. But I promise I can't stay up till like 1-2 o'clock in the morning my time so that I can see your tweets. So I'll go back to your Twitter feed every once in a while and see what I missed when I get up at 5 or 6 in the morning.
And we'll be in touch to see what we can do to get franchising very excited about social over here.
If anybody can get him excited, AK can. So we
will.
Okay, well,
that's
we're going to go
ahead. Challenge, AK.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, and she won't know when I have the video in front of her face. So that's So have a great night. Have a good weekend. And thanks. And thanks, AK. And we'll be listening to Ask AK tomorrow morning at, 10 o'clock my time, 11 o'clock your time? Or is it 11 my time, 12 your time?
11 and 12.
Okay. So I'll tune in tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for everyone joining us a second time.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
See you later.
Bye-bye.